Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You are listening to a talk as part of the Data Linkage and Mining Vision, Possibilities and Practicalities conference organised by the Scottish Universities Insight Institute. This talk was recorded on the 10th of March 2011. David Derbyshire, Action for Children, Developing Outcomes Framework for Monitoring and Evaluation.
We developed our own outcomes framework in 2005, but it's important to kind of just remember every now and then why we did that, actually, and the kind of history and the story prior to that, because we started out, like everyone else across the UK, in providing services, where we knew on an individual basis, we knew if we'd really helped a child. You know, and our practitioners, our managers could talk about that really well. I wasn't working with Action for Children at that time, but I remember my own practice. I knew if we'd made a really good difference. And then, of course, we started to sort of see research, not research about Action for Children particularly, but research generally, that suggested that some of the things that were going on in the social work service in particular, and in other services more broadly, were perhaps not doing things that were all that good sometimes, in fact sometimes making things worse, particularly when we got to the agenda of children in care. So actually we then got excited, if you remember back to the 1990s, and 1997, 98 in particular, when we started to think that we could measure and we could kind of turn the work with vulnerable human beings into a science and measure whether or not we had done things well. And so then we got into kind of excitedly reporting how well we'd done on reporting on all these processes, which of course just told us, as we've already heard in the other presentations, largely speaking, it told us how efficient we were as organisations, rather than telling us whether we made the slightest bit of difference to the vulnerable service users we were trying to work with. So in our context, it also told us, for us as a charity, as a leading children's charity, it didn't tell us that kind of measurement process around outputs didn't tell us actually what we needed to know to meet our charitable mission. You know, we're not here as Tesco or Sainsbury's. Our mission is to improve the lives of children and their families. So actually we got then into beginning to think about, well, how else can we know? We need to be able to know, to meet our charitable mission. We also need to be able to know, to convince service commissioners that actually they should purchase their services from Action for Children. We need to be able to know whether or not the things we're doing are making the positive difference we want them to make. So when we hit 2005 and we for the first time developed a consistent outcomes framework in the organisation, and that was a set of outcomes grouped under each of the national priority headings. So for Scotland that was the GERFEC headings, had then just in fact gone through this very week on Monday finalising the revision to that framework. So we've been using it for 4 years or so, 4.5 years. We're about to launch a revised version in April, and I'll show you why in a moment why we revised it, still with the headings, the kind of outcome headings grouped under the GERFEC headings, the GERFEC domains, all produced, in fact, interestingly, in relation to what someone said in the last conversation, all produced on one sheet of paper, actually, not two. So I'll take you through that and where we've got to and some of the other things we do to demonstrate outcomes and some of the challenges we faced and continue to face. You can't see that, probably, I imagine. And that's fine, you don't really need to. I put it there because actually that's our outcomes framework in a nutshell as it sort of stands up until the 31st of March. And it's kind of the thinking that we were at in 2005 and has continued up until the last year when we kind of decided that we really needed to kind of move on and move forward. And one of the last speakers was, I think, kind of touched on the key issue for us, is that what we think we need to do is to move from these kind of indicator statements into sort of more global kind of headings around outcomes under each of the domains. So here we've got quite a mix, actually, of things that are outcomes, some that are outputs. So we've got things that outcomes like child or young person's communication skills improve. We've got we've got young person has suitable accommodation, very clear measurable things, and we've got other things which are much, much more subjective and rely much, much more on judgment from the practitioners involved and indeed from the service users, because I suppose we've placed quite an emphasis on what children and their families say to us in terms of whether or not our services are making any difference. So there's child or young person feels safe within the family network or placement, not something you could actually kind of easily find even if you went to the case file. Our services report on these through our database, and they do report through a database at a fairly kind of crude level at the moment, actually, really. We're hoping to improve some of that as we go forward. But they report on whether or not, if they've selected this outcome, if the outcome is relevant to the involvement we have, whether things get better, whether they've stayed the same, or whether they've got worse. Broadly speaking, that's what they report on. So if we've got an indicator here about the young person not offending or not re-offending, then actually obviously if the young person does continue to re-offend at the same rate, then actually that's not, you know, they're going to report that's not an outcome achieved. If the young person offends less or offends with less severity, then obviously we're going to record there, the practitioner's going to record that outcome has been achieved. And through the database, obviously what we're then able to do is to aggregate that information, and it's crude information, so we don't rely entirely on this as an organisation, and I'll talk about the other things in a moment, but we aggregate that at national level. So we can then aggregate, just picking on no particular reason, I'm not great interested in young people offending, but that one that I've mentioned, we can then aggregate across the UK how many of our service users for whom offending was an issue is now offending less of an issue, and how many is it actually even more of an issue following our intervention. Hopefully, we hope the latter figure is rather small. We can also aggregate that against individual countries, so we don't just aggregate that across the UK, but we can report on that for Scotland, and we can report on that for individual services, which are generally services commissioned by local authorities. Each of our services is also now, in the last year, we also now require them, and they are producing, what we call a report card. And some of you may have come across the outcomes-based accountability thinking, and they're using the big box in the middle of the report card. A report card, for those who don't know it, is one piece of paper. It's wonderful because it tells you this is what the service is, this is what it does, this is what it costs, these are the people in it, this is the number of people. And then it says these are the sorts of things we've achieved. There's this kind of wonderful box, which is kind of, you know, these are the things we've achieved on the contract. They tend to be output things, actually. You know, we'll talk about that in a bit more in a moment. Local services are still generally commissioned by on outputs, something that we're very keen to try and influence to change. And then we have this wonderfully glorious box in the middle, which says, and therefore, what difference did we make? And what services are doing is then using these indicator statements in order to in order to be able to report on the kind of key differences that the service has made. The value of that for the service, of course, is that they're then able to change their services if, in fact, they're not making difference where they need to, as well as being able to report on all of their glorious success that they generally do have. The movement, and what I'm going to show you now is a slide that's a bit redundant, because, well, at least I will in a moment, I've covered all of that, really, I think. This kind of rather shorter version, which you also can't see, is beneficial to fast it, actually, because this is a completely redundant slide as of this week. I included it because I thought I was just going to use it to kind of indicate some of the journey we're on. This was a version of what the new outcomes framework from April will look like in Action for Children. In fact, this isn't it because we've made some changes. But what we've done really is we've taken out all of the things, with kind of one or two slight exceptions, where we, as you've heard already today, we've been having debate about is it an outcome, is it an output. I'll talk about a couple of those in a moment. We've taken all of those out and actually now just have outcome statements, really, which are about outcomes. So, you know, we've got things like the level of concern around child abuse and neglect is reduced, we've got child or young person maintains a supportive relationship with significant others. relationships between children, young people and parents and carers improves as a reduced risk of family breakdown. There's often in these things, interestingly, and I noticed that in the last presentation as well, there's often an and in the middle, because actually, in fact, just improving relationships between children and their parents, actually, well, that's kind of great, but you also need to know that you, by doing that, you reduce the risk of family breakdown, because you might, it might not, actually, in some situations. So we've really kind of emphasised the outcome bit here, children, young person achieving in learning environment to their best ability. Whereas before we had some things in that sort of said, and we had lots of debates about this actually, and Fiona and I were involved in some debates around this too actually even this morning, things that sort of said things like, well, protective factors are known and measures are in place. We had that before, and I have tried to stick to the point of saying, well, actually the fact that we know what what the factors are in itself is not an outcome. What the outcome is that the level of concern around abuse or neglect is reduced. We have had some continuing debate, and in a sense, I think if you're absolutely purist around outcomes, you would probably criticise even the final iteration of this. We talked, for instance, in particular about the question of young people's participation in service as to whether that was an outcome or not. And the mere fact that a young person has a say in terms of the service they get actually isn't an outcome, really, of course. But it does sort of say something about the way in which the services are run to be able to record that. So we have left something in around that, actually, around that area. We didn't include in the global level the question of school attendance. That was one of our other big debates. Because it seemed to us that a child simply attending school wasn't an outcome, actually. A child actually going to school and achieving the best kind of learning that they could, given their abilities or given whatever their targets were at an individual child level, was the outcome. And under each of these 20, we will now have 20 global indicator statements. We will then have a series of exemplars, the more detailed stuff, that will say, well, if you're talking about satisfactory attendance at school, for instance, if you're talking about child or young person achieving in a learning environment to the best of their ability, for instance, then what that looks like, it looks for, in the first instance, about a child attending school regularly. It may also look at a child achieving levels of attainment that are consistent with their individual plan. Equally, we've got things like child or young person's emotional well-being is improved. What that will look like is that the child or young person is given opportunities to be able to be rewarded and for their success to be noted by people working with them. What's key, I think, to understand as well for me around all of this is that each of these indicator statements is underpinned by a research base. So we haven't just made up things that kind of suit us because we know that we do well in terms of promoting emotional well-being. We have quite a significant research basis to say that the sorts of things that are important in promoting children's well-being are these sorts of things. They fit well under the Kerfec headings, and equally, we know what lies beneath them in terms of the detail. So that's where we're moving to in literally 2.5 weeks' time. I suppose just to say a little bit more about the other things we do and some of the things we've overcome and some of the continuing challenges. We don't think, in Action with Children, we can just rely on service practitioner reports on an outcomes framework. There is a real point here, which is that if you're going to make the shift from outputs to outcomes, one of the things that goes with it is you've got to trust practitioners a lot more than you previously might have done. Because you can't invent audit systems that will audit everything. You'll just have a whole industry of audit otherwise. So what we will do, we will audit whether or not what people are saying to us is true, but we'll do that through sampling. We're not going to audit every single return of every outcome that a practitioner records on the system. So we have to kind of give that responsibility back to the professionals who are working with children and young people. But having said that, and given that our database is such that, you know, in a sense we are recording quite crude levels of kind of improvement or deterioration or staying the same, we also have kind of added other things into what we've now termed our impact strategy, so that we bring together a whole series of quantitative and qualitative measures. And I think that's really important to grasp, actually, that you don't concentrate on one alone, because they've both got flaws. We all know that. You know, if you concentrate on quantitative stuff alone, you'll invent all kinds of unintended consequences about people chasing timescales and all of that that we've seen, you know, for the last 20 years. But if you concentrate only on qualitative stuff, then actually it's all a bit sort of soft and fluffy and open to the criticism, well, you know, how do we really know it makes a difference? So actually the task is that actually for us there's a quite a key analytical task, both at local level, at sort of service manager level, and at national level, in terms of meshing together the information we get from quantitative figures, for instance about numbers of young people who might be offending or might be homeless, on the one hand, with more qualitative information, which might come from either the service users themselves about the things that have made a difference for them, or will come from research and evaluation. And we are now pretty well based in terms of our research and evaluation knowledge, and I'll come to the key challenges in a moment, in that most of our key service offers that we provide, whether that's around early years, early intervention services, whether that's around youth services, or whether it's around children in care, or children or disabled children services, we have a research base. Where we have commissioned research, as well as understanding what the more general research is across the UK, around each of those sorts of areas, that then informs our outcomes framework and informs our understanding of whether or not the things that are going on in our services are actually the things that meet the kind of requirements of the research. So knowing, for instance, the kinds of things that work to help children not to be neglected. And we do know a few things about that. I mean, the key thing, actually, is to provide a trusted practitioner. Knowing that, we can then measure that in terms of evaluations that we've undertaken, either internally or with external partners, around the sorts of things that are being done within our services that are dealing with neglected children. So, we're in that place, and we're in a better place than we were 6 years ago, so that's good. We've had to overcome some key challenges, which I'm going to whiz through so you've got some time to ask questions. The workforce needs pretty constant training. The training requirements around understanding outcomes and understanding how to deliver outcomes and understanding how to demonstrate outcomes, they're all slightly different things, are actually ongoing. And we, you know, just now looking at kind of additional outcomes-based training for practitioners and local managers in the forthcoming financial year. Because it is a tension, you know, and you heard it in the earlier presentations, really, that, you know, we've got that conflict between outcomes and outputs, particularly in a world where the external world for us still concentrates on outputs largely. We've also had to work hard in our organisation, and in some ways we're maybe a different organisation from a statutory one here, in that we provide a pretty broad range of services in action for children. So actually we've had to kind of work pretty hard to get those people who are specialists around services for disabled children agreeing with those who are specialists around child protection or specialists working with vulnerable young people to kind of agree, well, what are then the kind of global outcome headings that we think we can use? And I suppose last but not least, and again this is an ongoing challenge, we have to make sure that we don't create an outcomes reporting system, which all sounds kind of very outcomes based, which in itself becomes another tick box exercise. Because of course it's very easy to do that, you know, amidst the kind of hurly-burly of life dealing with vulnerable people, it's quite difficult to actually to remind people all the time that the reason we do this, the reason we concentrate on outcomes, is because actually it speaks to the reason we exist. Other key challenges, there's a lot of discussion that goes on in the broader research evaluation arena now around the question of attribution. It's particularly relevant to the increasing notion of payment by results and randomised control trials, which of course we haven't had much of in this country yet, but which are probably coming our way, we think. And it is a problem, actually, because it is very difficult in most of this work to be able to say that because Action for Children applied this service to this group of children, they all kind of improved their lives. Because actually, they might have improved their lives anyway. You know? There's lots of other things that go on in life that might have actually contributed in different ways to improvements in life happening for children and young people. And that's true of all organisations, not just us. And so what we've done to date really is emphasise the value of correlation. So if we can say that we've applied this intervention to this many young people, it's had this kind of X percent of benefit, then that's the correlation, but it's different from attribution and gets us into problems when we start to talk about the emerging emphasis being placed certainly by the Westminster government across the UK on the use only of evidence-based programmes, and those evidence-based programmes being ones which have been subjected to randomised control trial tests where there has been a very clear ability to be able to attribute change to an intervention. So we're challenged by that. That continues to be a challenge, and we're looking into that at the moment. We'll talk about more about that in questions if we want to. Other things, senior managers internally within Action for Children have to be, we have to persuade them that this is an important thing. It is now part of our core strategy. So actually, we have moved to this being part of our core priorities within the organisation. And public sector commissioners need constant reminding about the value for children and young people of commissioning by outcomes rather than by processes and volume. And there is some movement on this, actually. Fiona, you've got quite some examples of that in Scotland particularly, haven't you, really? Is that...
I think when we tender for services, I think we're increasingly seeing that the local authorities are going to evaluate quality on the basis of how we will actually deliver on key outcomes. And whether they're using the national objectives or bringing it down to GIRFET KEDINGS, they're asking us... what is it that we will actually do? What outputs will we put in place to achieve those outcomes? And they're looking for specific outcomes, particularly for looked after children around health, education and so on. And they're saying, that they'll use a tracker system to evidence that. And obviously the structure we have allows us to align what we are doing with what those local authorities are looking for. And I think that's obviously a trend that people in the room will be aware of.
So, which is really good, because that's kind of signs of hope, I think, actually. And there's lots more signs of hope across the rest of the UK, too. And there's a whole series of slides which, you can see at your leisure about, as a result of all of this, this is what we know. We pretty much know that kind of most of the services we provide actually do have a positive effect. I would emphasise that we have also invested quite a bit of time and resource in terms of looking at cost effectiveness, obviously critical in times of public spending cuts, with a cost effectiveness methodology, which essentially is looking at trying to demonstrate that if we provide services now, then actually it will be cheaper in a year or 2 years' time because you won't have to provide so many intensive services later on. And we've done quite a lot of work on that and more work coming over the course of the next year to demonstrate the cost-effectiveness of certainly children's centres in England and family intervention projects across the UK and intensive family support services, including particularly the one in East Dunbartonshire. So again, I'm going to leave the time, I think, for questions and discussion rather than going through. Therefore, as a result, this is what we know. These are some of the next steps, though. Outcomes-based commissioning, we want more of it. We will use our revised framework to demonstrate more clearly our impact on children and young people to the wider world. We produce an impact report once a year now, actually. The next one will be on our website at the end of April, touch wood. It'll be written by me by the end of March. It's about whether it gets onto the website. And then just going back to a question that you asked earlier, Bridget, really, the one area where we're not so strong at the moment is on inputs. What is difficult to do from our current systems is to be able to say that we know that 300 disabled children have lives have benefited as a result. We can show that in terms of our framework, but actually it's quite difficult to track that then down into individual specific interventions or forms of assistance that have been offered. And that's kind of our next challenge, really, which is partly a technical challenge and partly a challenge with practitioners. And of course, you know, for us, some of this about how we can achieve outcomes is also linked to how we can attract alternative funding, which is kind of pretty critical for an organisation like us at a time of public spending cuts, when we can start to think about payment by results, which again, you know, not much of yet, but coming our way soon, and further training, as I said.
This recording is copyright of IRIS 2011. It may be reused under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 2.5 UK Scotland licence. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.